You know their best-selling albums, sold-out concerts, and iconic music videos. Now, find out the stories behind the songs, behind the stars, and behind the drama with Behind the Music, a new podcast from MTV and iHeartRadio. Featuring the stories behind some of the biggest names in music, including 50 Cent, Madonna, AC/DC, and many more. Ready to find out what really happened? Go beyond the headlines and get the story behind the music. Listen to Behind the Music on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your Friday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. Our roundtable should be making their way in studio shortly. Eric Lucero, state rep, and lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
What, Sam? Drew and I were just having a conversation. I don't know what you're worried about. I don't know what to... Sam's over there looking. Okay, like, you guys going to talk or what?
Oh, no, it's okay.
We were hashing out a very, very important debate.
You guys can debate all you want for as long as you want. We got music bumpers
That's
for a reason.
That's why we have bumper music.
Totally exactly. Fine. I was trying to ask you guys questions. You just couldn't hear me.
That's what the problem was.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I thought you were...
Can hear you now.
Yeah. You can hear me now.
What's going on?
Yes. Yeah, it's fine. I'll
okay,
just
we'll talk
you.
Later. We were... There's a thing where you look at an artist... And you decide like what was their high point and what was their apex mountain?
Yes, that's a term we've stolen from a podcast called The Rewatchables, which is a movie podcast, and they'll do is this the apex mountain? Is this the peak of this person's mm-hmm. career? And there can be different criteria for mm-hmm. what you refer to as somebody for somebody's apex mountain.
But apex mountain is an interesting one to work through because you don't necessarily go off of like. Box office. You kind of take a combination of all the different factors to determine,
right.
You know, where somebody's like. There's arguments to be made about Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, what was his apex mountain?
And there's an argument to be made where you go, well, it's kind of Beverly Hills Cop, even though he had a lucrative career afterwards.
You could make an argument for Shrek.
Yeah,
to be Eddie Murphy's apex mountain, depending on which criteria right. you're going to look at. Yeah.
So Drew had asked about James Franco.
What would be James Franco's apex mountain?
So,
which is, I think he's a really tough one to sort of pin down.
I have my, so your answer was the Disaster Artist.
That was the
maybe.
First one that came to my head. Okay. I mean, I'm not like locked in on that answer, but the first thing that came to my head was Disaster Artist. I think that was an amazing performance by him.
Right.
First of all, and it also sort of, it took him from being sort of like a Seth Rogen sidekick kind of character to being someone who, he could actually like take a movie and lead it.
Based off of that, I'm going to back up further, use your criteria, and give you the Apex Mountain.
Oh, you've decided what
it is. I have.
It's all subjective, John.
No, you've handed me the criteria. There's another movie that actually meets that criteria before Disaster Artist for James Franco. So my initial was Spider-Man 2. That's where the most memes come from for James Franco. It's from Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
But then that's kind of where it kind of stops and starts. Drew, your apex mountain for James Franco. I can give you the definitive answer.
Okay, go ahead.
It's 127 hours.
I never saw that, so yeah that one did not occur to me because I did not see that movie.
Pre-Disaster
right,
Artist
though, that's probably
elevated pretty... him to a yeah. much bigger... I mean, the dude cut off his arm for... Spoiler alert. Cut off his arm for crying out loud.
No spoilers.
Probably a good answer. But
sorry, I ruined
James
it
James Franco's
Drew.
Been canceled, though, hasn't he?
Has he?
Didn't he get canceled?
He was quietly canceled.
Yeah. That's true.
He was.
It did not make a lot of headlines.
No,
he kind of got half canceled.
He was very quietly. If you follow,
I think he might have just canceled himself preemptively
because he knew.
He knew.
He knew. He said that Hunter Biden should take a clue.
I don't know. He was in Sausage Party. I think that was his apex mountain.
That movie was horrible.
Wow. I can't believe that Sam brought in
Sausage Party
from crying out loud.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you like it?
No.
Okay. It's really bad. Yeah. I couldn't finish. I tried.
That was one surprising answer followed by, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surprised you saw it. Not surprised you didn't like it.
I didn't know what it was about.
I thought it was...
Oh, I want to unpack this so bad. What? The title of the movie...
Yeah.
It's just a cartoon. I don't know.
What did you think?
Oh, my goodness.
Was going to be about when you saw an R-rated cartoon called Sausage Party?
Drew, I don't check movie ratings. I'm in my 20s. Why does it matter what a movie rating is? Drew, it doesn't matter. Movie ratings matter when you're like 15. So I didn't like pre-check the movie rating.
Drew, I take it all back. We need more critical race theory. If she's not, maybe we need to change add a little bit more teaching.
That tells you how this whole culture thing, you bring up critical race theory about how, you know, the patriarchy and blah, blah, blah. Like, Sam sees an R-rated movie called Sausage Party and doesn't have any clue what the movie might possibly be about.
Yeah, it doesn't occur to me.
It doesn't occur.
Weird. Just, you know, it's just foul mouths.
It's
meat.
It's a movie about charcuterie boards.
My mom saw it before I did, and she talked about it, and she was like, she said it was disturbing, and I was like, how could a cartoon be disturbing?
It's just about cured meat.
Okay, sorry.
See, I stood up so that I could go get our guest. Now I need to sit down.
I know, but how did you go from your mom? Mom saw it.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Mom said it was disturbing, so I'm going to go watch it now.
I was like, why was she so disturbed? I guess I'll check it out.
Why didn't you ask her in the moment? Hey, Mom. Why did the movie... You're like, oh, it disturbed you. Cool. All right. Let's go watch Sausage Party.
Yeah. I'm not always great at follow-up questions. I just kind of dive in.
All right. Go get our guests.
Okay.
We'll talk some more without you. Yeah. So while she's gone...
Everybody, let's talk about Sam now.
Yeah. Let's have a conversation about homeschooling.
Hey!
All right, from the Daily Wire, the Pentagon is sending 3,000 troops back into Afghanistan to evacuate American citizens and Afghan interpreters from the U.S. embassy in Kabul, according to U.S. officials. Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby said 3 battalions, 1 from the Army and 2 from the Marines, will enter Afghanistan over the next 48 hours to assist with security at the Kabul airport. And the brigade of 4,000 Army soldiers was being sent to Kuwait to be on standby if more troops were needed.
Afghan government forces are collapsing even faster than U.S. military leaders thought possible just a few months ago when President Joe Biden ordered a full withdrawal, according to the Associated Press. The Taliban, who ruled the country from 1996 until U.S. forces invaded after 9/11, captured 3 more capitals on Wednesday, 2 capitals on Thursday, the 10th and 11th that the insurgents have taken in a week-long sweep that has given them effective control of about 2/3 of the country.
Biden had stated last month that it was not inevitable that the Taliban would take over the country once the U.S. left. Biden further claimed that the likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely.
July 8th, 2021, Joe Biden was asked how serious was the corruption among the Afghanistan government to this mission failed there. And Biden replied, first of all, the mission hasn't failed yet. The likelihood there's going to be a Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely. July 8th, 2021. It is August 13th, and the Taliban is overrunning everything and is on its way to owning the whole country to the point where we are having to send 3,000 troops back into Afghanistan, and the U.S. Embassy is urging all Americans to leave Afghanistan immediately.
Yeah, we'll dive into a little bit more details here in just a moment. New York Times has a lengthy piece regarding what's going on. Robert Gates, who served as defense secretary under Obama's administration, previously warned that Democrat President Joe Biden had been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past decade.
He's always been wrong. And let me just read this headline from the New York Times before we get deeper into it. And we've got the Friday Roundtable making its way in studio. Representative Eric Lucero, good morning. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Good morning.
Always a pleasure to see you.
It's always fun to be here.
The U.S. has asked the Taliban to spare its embassy in the coming fight for Kabul, according to the New York Times headline. You think that's going to be effective?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing how this administration
and in a larger picture, Democrats allow the United States to be portrayed for the rest of the world. Asked, you know, we at one, you know, I was
nicely though. We said, well, please,
you know, I mean,
we're showing
I was,
the world that the United States has manners.
Well, exactly. You know, what we need is to have respect and force.
Yeah.
And strength through peace, right? What happened to that mantra?
What's the best way to get respect? Strength.
Exactly.
You know, show strength. People respect strength, and especially in a foreign policy world where you've got forces like the Taliban. The Taliban isn't going to respect manners.
They'll have the thing burned to the ground by Sunday.
Well, and this is where my concern comes in with this. And well, and let me say up front too, and I'm with Drew on this. You know, look, I don't want us to be the world police. If you're going to pull everybody out, you need to be able to accept what's going to happen here. And if that's the case, then you need to get all of our people out of the embassy. You should have done this already.
Yeah.
If that was the case, right? If you're going to leave and just accept that the Afghan people are going to have to, you know, fight for themselves, because that's what Biden was saying last week.
That's what he said.
That was his plan. He was saying it's like they're going to have to fight harder to defend themselves. They're capable of doing that. So if that's the case, then you should have gotten these 4,000 out of the area and at least been upfront that in all likelihood Afghanistan could fall to the Taliban. Again, but and then follow that up with your rationale as to why you pulled everybody out. Mm-hmm. I'll respect that, right? You won the presidency. I'll respect that decision. But here they're taking this sort of half and half approach where we're pulling troops out, and you hit the nail on the head because he wanted a good news cycle.
That's all.
And look at this disaster that's now playing out over there because they're not committing to something.
Democrats are consistently the party of optics and not substance, mm-hmm. right? They care how things look. They care how things are reported. They care how things are perceived. But they don't necessarily care about all the substance and foundation that goes into these types of decisions. And you see that in the way, like, our major cities are run. Right, I mean, they all say the right things. They've got the office of an equity advisor, and they're sending money to all these community organizing groups. But then the substance, when you get underneath, you realize it's nothing but rot there. It all crumbles underneath it.
The best phrases I ever heard was intentions versus reality.
Yeah,
it is the Democrats. Oh, it was our intention to have XYZ outcome, mm-hmm. but when you actually evaluate the reality of what happened. Difference.
This administration has been one mess after, you know, one, you know, self-inflicted wound after another, and then they do something else to try to distract from the last mess they created, and they create another mess that they have to distract from.
American diplomats are now trying to determine how soon they may need to evacuate the U.S. embassy should the Taliban prove to be more bent on destruction. Right. On Thursday, the embassy urged Americans who were not working for the U.S. government to leave Afghanistan immediately on commercial flights. This is from the New York Times. Biden administration officials insist that there are no immediate plans to significantly draw down the embassy staff of 4,000 people, including 1,400 Americans, as U.S. troops formally complete their withdrawal from the country.
We are withdrawing our forces from Afghanistan, but we are not withdrawing from Afghanistan, the State Department said in a statement. Although U.S. troops will depart, the United States will maintain our robust diplomatic engagement with Afghanistan.
This is setting up for a disastrous scenario that we've seen play out just within recent history, for crying out loud. I mean, you all know what this is setting up for and the potential of what can happen here by leaving these individuals in this embassy. If the Taliban comes rolling in, are we going to get another Michael Bay film out of this whole deal?
Well, maybe what we're going to get, we've already had the gas crisis during this administration. We've already got inflation going. If he really wants to Jimmy Carter the whole thing, you know, we'll have, you know, our diplomats taken hostage in a foreign country. That would be the third strike.
And I don't think this administration cares. I think they welcome it. I hate to be so cynical, but I really do. If this takes their eye off of my gosh, have you seen the latest video of Biden at the White House with the Secret Service?
No.
It's amazing. So he's walking in, the Secret Service is directing him on where to go because there's designated security paths, and he just starts wandering off, and Secret Service has to go and track him down. To bring him back on because it's all...
I saw that. I told somebody this week. I said, we're going to get a silver alert on him before...
Seriously, man.
This is over.
It's unbelievable, but I don't know. I hate to be that cynical, but I sit back and I go, I can't help but think that they sit back and if they're like, well, you know what? If our embassy gets overrun, it gets overrun. It'll take focus off of all the damage we're doing to the country right now.
Well, what they care about is they're in control. That was, you know, they don't, this, we deal with this with the eviction moratorium extension. You know, they're not about the rule of law. When they complain about the rule of law, you know, suffering under Trump, they're not about the rule of law. They're about them being in charge. That's what they care about.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as they're in charge.
Yep. Yep. They care about more about the optics, and they're probably already in their back rooms trying to figure out how they're going to spin the fall of Kabul.
Mm-hmm. When the helicopter has to land on the embassy there, I'd like to see him spin that.
Yeah. They're out there scouring YouTube to find a video to blame it on.
Mm-hmm.
So where's our partners? Where's the world community?
Yeah.
To step up here.
Yeah. Why does it always fall on the United States?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a fair question. That's what Trump was trying to work on, though. I mean, that's the thing that's so frustrating. Yeah. You know, with all the stuff that he was trying to do with NATO and trying to get them more involved and taking more responsibility for things happening in that region. It doesn't always have to be the United States blood and treasure that is spent to provide stability to these regions. You know, I mean, for everything we're giving and everything we give to all of these member countries in NATO and the amount of support that we give, we should get more in return.
Exactly.
That's what Trump was trying to. He's the first president in my lifetime that actually went out there and went to these other countries and was like, hey, we're giving you millions and millions of dollars of our money, of our workers' money, of our American families' money. We're taking it out of their paychecks and giving it to you. We need something in return. You got to step up to the plate.
And one of the other aspects of this that I just don't think is appreciated by necessarily us is the symbolism that's created here, the fall of a potential embassy, yeah. The symbolism that portrays to the rest of the world. To those evil actors who are intent on destroying us and creating harm.
Yep.
651-989-5855. We have more details to bring to you, including some of the latest military intelligence assessments of just how fast they think the entire country could fall to the Taliban. So we'll get into this coming up on Justice and Drew.
Fam.
News Talk AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, Friday the 13th.
Ooh. Oh.
Spooky.
Is it really?
I didn't even realize
until you just said that.
I know.
Yeah, I don't
know. Now your day's gone to hell.
Did you do spooky voice?
He did do spooky voice.
It's almost spooky voice season.
I do not like
that. There is no such thing. There will be no spooky voice season.
There is on a spooky voice season. It says who?
I don't like Friday the 13th.
Is there a national spooky voice day?
There should be.
If Sam were in charge, there would be.
Yeah. Who's in charge of deciding the national days?
I have to say, you know, I know you guys rely on me for free legal advice. To the point about Kool-Aid Day, there is, in the law, brands can become so widely associated with a product that they can become merely descriptive. Xerox, Kleenex,
mm-hmm. Yes!
Post-its.
Oh!
I would say Kool-Aid might be on the borderline.
Yes, that's my lawyer!
I actually would agree with you, Jeff. But you still don't see, like, National Kleenex Day. You still don't, you know, typically
I bet
you
if
don't...
I Google that, I can find it.
Could you take that, if this is a stretch, lawyer extraordinaire, you just say, that's a stretch, John. But could you take that sort of, that looking at the legal language when it comes to a name brand product that becomes sort of part of just the public, you know, zeitgeist? Can you take that and sort of apply it to Twitter when they're talking about it being a public sphere, you know, where people say this is a private entity and therefore, because I've seen this argument continues to go around, right? As somebody recently, I forgot the details of it, somebody recently come out and established that Twitter can be looked at as being a public sphere. And then, mm-hmm. I keep seeing people pushing back going, nope, it's still a private entity, you know, therefore, you know, they can do whatever they want when it comes to silencing conservatives. And I'm just wondering if there's any sort of
comparisons of the
two things.
You guys talked about it when you had your roundtable on here a few weeks ago when it was disclosed that the Biden administration was, you know, kind of barking out orders to the social media companies mm-hmm. about censoring people and information. You can argue that it's a private company to the extent that the state isn't controlling the content of the speech. When you have that disclosure, you know, and there's a lot that, you know, Trump's got the lawsuit going now. I don't know where it's going to go, but that's a pretty strong argument to argue that it might be, you know, in the public domain when you have the government being able to direct them where to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't it funny how much liberals like to embrace the free market and the right of private businesses to discriminate? The moment they start doing it to conservatives, mm-hmm. like all of a sudden it's like they become the biggest champions of free markets, private companies. They can do what they want, right? Mm-hmm. But only when they deplatform conservatives. That's the only time they really step up and really believe in the rights of private companies to do what they want.
Right.
And they're awkwardly silent on their free speech
mm-hmm.
arguments that they constantly are screaming about.
Yeah, they don't really believe in free speech.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. Well, we have actual audio of that coming up from the Terminator here in just a little bit.
Before we get to that, let's just touch upon a few more points when it comes to what's happening now in Afghanistan. This is more details from the Associated Press. So the Taliban has captured already Afghanistan's third largest city, and the strategic provincial capital near Kabul on Thursday, further squeezing the country's embattled government just weeks before the end of the military mission there. The seizure of Herat marks the biggest prize yet for the Taliban. They have taken 11 of Afghanistan's 34 provincial capitals as part of a week-long blitz. The
unbelievable
Taliban fighters rushed past the great mosque in the historic city, which dates back to 500 BC and was once a spoil of Alexander the Great. And they seized government buildings. Witnesses described hearing sporadic gunfire at one government building while the rest of the city fell silent under the insurgents' control.
They had the Chiron on Fox News. I'm looking up right now. Afghans flee homes mm-hmm. in fear of Taliban brutality. Look, this was entirely predictable. Mm-hmm. And this is what we said when Joe Biden made the announcement that he was pulling out of Afghanistan. As much as I want to see our men and women come home, as much as I want to see the U.S. military cease to be the world's policeman and cease to be the source of stability in a lot of these areas, you know, once you sort of get intertwined and ingrained into these countries like this, you have to be very deliberate and careful about how you extract those troops. You can't just say, we're pulling them home in a month. Because
mm-hmm.
exactly. Then you create vacuums, and then bad people come in and fill those vacuums. And
that's right.
Entirely predictable what's happening here with the Taliban, but it didn't have to be this way.
Right.
There is a way to pull our troops out, to bring our troops home, and do it in a safe and effective manner, but Joe Biden doesn't care. He just wanted the good news cycle.
Right.
Well, I don't think he knows what's even going on.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Whoever's making the decisions for the Biden administration.
Who's the puppet master?
Well, there was a picture of all of them at former President Obama's party. It was Obama, it was Eric Holder, and it was Susan Rice and a couple of people all at the same table.
Yeah, that's pretty much your administration.
And I couldn't help but look at
Ron Klain in there.
Yeah. I just couldn't go. I couldn't go. Yeah, that's probably it.
That's who's running the country right now.
Before they were given orders to delete those pictures from social media.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yep. Those are the ones. The latest military U.S. military intelligence assessment suggests that Kabul could come under insurgent pressure within 30 days, and that if the trends hold currently, the Taliban could gain full control of the country within a few months. The Afghan government may eventually be forced to pull back to defend the capital and just a few other cities in the coming days if the Taliban keep up their momentum. And did we all kind of forget the reason why we were there in the first place? You know, safe havens for bad guys.
For terrorists.
Terrorists training. And all that. Yeah, and yeah, so what's that?
Plots were hatched.
That's
to
awesome.
Fly planes into the World Trade Center there.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, but as you said, predictable. In other posts around the world, U.S. diplomats said they were closely watching the perilous situation in Kabul to see how the State Department will balance its longstanding commitment to stabilizing Afghanistan against protecting Americans who remain there as the military forces withdraw. Another U.S. senior official expressed alarm this week at the fall of the provincial capitals we mentioned a moment ago, said that if other cities follow, the only major northern city still under government control, the situation could disintegrate quickly. But the Pentagon officials also noted that Afghan commandos are fighting hard in particular provinces, but so far have held off the Taliban advances there. But I just don't see how the Taliban's going to stop this onslaught right now with us leaving. And my biggest concern is just our, you know, if we've committed to this, then get our people out of there.
I hope that the lesson out of this whole thing, you mentioned earlier about not being the world's policeman. I hope that going forward we understand that you can't force democracy on people that don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was this goes back to the Bush administration. This was a mistake.
Yes.
You know, you can't prop up, create a government and prop them up and expect that this is going to, everybody's just going to lay down and acknowledge that. No, this is a region that has always had these warring factions, and to try to, you know, set up as kind of another version of what we have here, it doesn't work. And anyone that still thinks that we should be doing this around the world, we should not be getting involved unless there's a U.S. interest someplace.
Yeah. A direct U.S. interest and a direct goal.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
yeah, there was no goal here.
Yeah. I mean, a tangible, achievable, definitive objective. And once you achieve that, then you get the hell out.
Right.
Stop with the nation building.
Jeff is spot on in terms of trying to impose from the outside. The principles of a republic have to be organic.
Yes.
They have to be embedded in the culture of a people. And what a clear demonstration of an abysmal failure.
And it would be one thing if the Biden administration were coming out and saying, we can't shed any more blood there. If they had said what you had said, right, Jeff? If they had said, listen, we've been there for far too long. And it didn't latch on. We're going to pull all our people out. We're pulling our troops out, and the Afghan people are going to have to, you know, deal with the fallout themselves for all the reasons that Jeff said. That would at least be the admirable and respectable thing to do, even if you disagree with it, mm-hmm. right? With all the efforts that we made, at least that would be like a stance. But that's not what he's doing. He's still giving off this notion that that the Afghan people are going to be able to rise up and push them back. And so far, it doesn't look like it's going to be the case.
Yeah.
It's just going to reflect badly on us.
When this is happening in Afghanistan, think about the real... I mean, this is obviously going to create a danger for us, but there are real active threats right now in Iran mm-hmm. and China that are continuing to grow. And if this is the failure that we're seeing from the Biden administration here, think of what's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, this, just on the horizon is some serious problems.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. We got some open phone lines. You want to participate in the conversation with our Friday roundtable. Representative Eric Lucero, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
We have an interesting piece of audio that we will share with you from former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. And an opinion here that says that the people who say screw your freedom don't really understand freedom.
Anoka Technical College is your destination for a rewarding technical education. Our 70-plus in-demand programs are offered full-time, part-time, safely in-person, and online. Join our job-ready graduates. Why wait? Spring into a new career today. Anoka Technical College. Hands-on education for a hands-on career. Apply today.
Friday edition of Justice and Drew continues on. We've got Representative Tom Emmer joining us in the next segment. Always fun catching up with him, and we will play the Friday news quiz in about 1 hour. Your contestants will be the lovely, talented, and radiant Samantha Sansevier.
That's
lawyer
right.
extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. State Representative extraordinaire Eric Lucero.
Good morning.
Pick who you think is going to win, predict, and who you think will win using the hashtag TCNT or emailing it to JD@TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, and you'll be in the running for a $100 gift certificate from our friends at Twin Cities Cannabis.
We have a lot of opinions floating around right now with regards to putting masks on,
mm-hmm.
right, and your freedoms. As a matter of fact, there's a story here. It's a lengthy piece, and we'll talk a little bit about here coming up in just a moment about do masks work. We'll bring you some of the main takeaways from this piece from the City Journal. Before we get to that, though, it was an interesting mix of individuals that were with Arnold Schwarzenegger in this Zoom call, but in the middle of it, the former governor and Terminator had this to say.
People should know there is a virus here. It kills people. And the only way we prevent it is to get vaccinated, to wear masks, to do social distancing, washing your hands all the time, and not just to think about, well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom. Because with freedom comes obligations and responsibilities. We cannot just say, I have the right to do X, Y, and Z. When you affect other people, That is when it gets serious. It's like no different than a traffic light. We put a traffic light at the intersection so someone doesn't kill someone else.
A charismatic Austrian saying, screw your freedoms.
Wow.
I feel like I've seen this movie before.
I think so.
The air of familiarity to this that's leaving me a little uncomfortable.
You know, he leaves there. He was Mr. Anti-Communist, pro-freedom back in the 80s, and he marries into the Kennedy family, and now we have this.
Wow. That's a very good point.
You know, the I've said, even on the House floor, Terminator, Predator, and Aliens are among my top three movies. I'm going to have to reevaluate that now.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold them again. That lunacy. Against him. You know, the key problem.
Former Republican governor of California right there saying, screw your freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, Arnold, I will not screw my freedom.
Wow.
I'm not really sure what that
was. Yeah, you know what? If you're going to do that accent again, you can go ahead and take away my freedom. Feel free. Look, before we get into a little bit more of this to kind of talk about how he doesn't understand what freedom means, let's go to the phones. And John in North Branch wants to comment on pulling out of Afghanistan and what's been happening over the course of the past 48 hours. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, John, or Justice and Drew. Say, I served in Afghanistan. I lost friends in Afghanistan. I actually was a corpsman, so I was a medical staff for the Marines. And I held one of my buddy's hands, Dilly Bar, we called him. That was his nickname. As he died in my hands, and what was it all for?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such, words can't even describe how angry, how disappointed at the ineptitude of this administration. I mean, come on.
Well, thank you for your service, John, first of all. And I mean that sincerely. And I'm sorry you had to go through that. I can only imagine that your sentiments are echoed by a lot of your fellow servicemen and women. I mean, we've spilt a lot of blood and treasure in Afghanistan, and I would like it to be for something.
Exactly.
I would like it to be for something. I would like it to be for something other than the Taliban just coming back in, rolling right through, and taking back all the territory that we're ceding.
Picking up right where they left off.
Yeah, it is. It's frustrating and it's infuriating.
Well, and again, in my view, if this is what needs to happen, and all of that blood and treasure, you know, was spilled and lost in the wake of it. At a bare minimum, we need to have leadership that's willing to admit the mistakes. Because at the end of the day, it looks like the only thing that we may get out of this and what we should get out of it is, hey, let's make sure that we as a country, when we attempt to go do something like this again, we know what it is that we're getting into and what this could possibly mean. And I kind of go back to what Jeff O'Brien was saying a moment ago. You know, with that caller, and again, I echo Drew's sentiment. Thank you for your service. I can't even imagine what that must have been like. You know, what that must be like to be there with a fellow soldier and to lose them in front of you like that. And then to see what's happening right now. But at the same time, look, if it ends up being, for lack, and I'm not trying to be insensitive, it ended up being a massive waste of our efforts and our bloodshed, then at a bare minimum, let's be honest about that failure.
Yeah.
Let's be honest and upfront and say, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right.
And maybe it was misguided. And let's make sure that we don't do this again. But that's not what you're getting right now.
Yeah, there's elected officials or former elected officials in both parties that bear the blame for this. Let's be fair. It's not just, I mean, Biden's just left the one holding the bag, and his administration, their issue is the way that they're withdrawing. But, and it's kind of funny that, you know, a lot of the most prominent never Trump voices were the ones that put us there in the first place, and that's been one of the recurring themes is the folks that want to always have a, you know, an ongoing war someplace were the ones that had were the most vocal opponents of him.
Yeah, well, and the difference is too. You go back to what it suddenly the criticisms of Trump pulling troops out of other areas pops into my head. And for those that remember, there was a lot of, we're going to do this, and then it seemed pretty clear Trump heard back from his officials, and Trump went, yeah, okay, we're not going to do that.
Right.
Right. There was a there seemed to be decision making that was happening that could be perceived, and they were, as, and it was perceived as flip flops, but it also can be perceived as, no, upon further examination of what you were going to do, it was decided that this is a bad idea for our country and our troops. And that is good and that is okay. And it seems like what's happened here is there were people going to Biden, hey, we can't. You can't do it this way. This is going to be a disaster if you do it this way. But like you guys said a moment ago, they do not care. It's about the optics of the moment and the news cycle, not about the bigger picture of what's best for the country or for what our troops have served and done.
Right. So, you know, as Afghanistan is crumbling around where our troops have left these vacuums, you know, expect the news cycle to react accordingly. You know, something, there'll be some sort of news drop today about some Republican, some obscure Republican somewhere who did something stupid. Maybe it'll be right here in Minnesota. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
We certainly got some options for them to choose from. That'll
deflect and distract.
Take all the attention away. Nobody will be talking about what's happening in Afghanistan and your mainstream cable news or anything over the course of the weekend. That's my prediction anyway.
Well, you're going to see it happen locally with this horrendous story of this GOP strategist that got arrested. That's going to bury the Devin Hogan Minneapolis DFL.
Probably.
You know, the cops started it editorial. You can just, that's gone.
Right.
That's completely wiped from any coverage that may have taken place.
Mark in Fridley, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I think what we really need to examine here is going back to the Constitution. The last war that was officially declared by Congress, who has the only right to declare a war, was World War II.
But their use of fourth authorizations, Mark, is that's good enough, right? It's close enough.
Absolutely. Explicably, inequivocally, not. We did the same thing with Vietnam. Now, I'm looking at a headline from the Star Tribune, December 10th, 2019, from a Washington Post article. And the big banner across the top reads, U.S. lied about Afghan war, documents reveal. And if you read that article or reread it, I can send it to you. It's an explanation of everything that went wrong. And right now, with the amount of money, just the money, not the blood, that was spent in Afghanistan, that place should look like freaking Abu Dhabi or Shanghai.
Should look like Disneyland.
Yeah. You know, a formal declaration of war would also put members of Congress on the record and hold them accountable.
There's a reason why it was set up that way, and a good reason why it was set up that way. You know, you shouldn't have one executive that can suddenly start deciding where they're going to send troops and you know, where they're going to spill our blood and treasure. Congress needs to be involved in these decisions, but as Mark, you know, rightfully mentioned, starting about, what, in the 50s and 60s, Congress decided to abdicate that responsibility.
Among the other delegations of responsibility and authority that Congress continues to
just give up.
Yeah, right.
They don't want to be held accountable.
They complain about the president's and the executive orders, but I never see them actually going into court and challenging said executive orders. They're perfectly fine with it because it saves them from having to take unpopular votes, and then, you know, they just go back out and get reelected.
Yep.
The same pattern has occurred on the state level here. The state legislature has ceded authority to the executive branch for decades. Mm.
You want totalitarianism, you want statism, you want strongman type government. Keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. We decentralize power, which is the way we should. It keeps the checks and balances. But over the time of statehood and the nation, we continue to consolidate power.
Centralize.
Yeah. There's a reason it took a year to take away Governor Walz's emergency powers. There was a lot of folks, I think, on both sides in both houses that were perfectly fine with him taking making decisions that they didn't have to have responsibility for.
Spot on.
Present company accepted.
651-989-5855. Jen Psaki circle back to Arnold saying, screw your freedom. Right. The key problem here, because I want to get to this mask thing, too, here. But the key problem with what the Terminator has demonstrated is an utter ignorance for the double-edged and bidirectional sword that is freedom, along with the reality of the mortal world we inhabit. Right. Freedom is inherently tied with responsibility. And that's what he said in there. Right. I mean, I'll play the clip again.
People should know there is a virus here. It kills people. And the only way we prevent it is to get vaccinated, to wear masks, to do social distancing, washing your hands all the time, and not just to think about, well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom.
No.
Because with freedom comes obligations and kind of responsibilities. We cannot just say, I have the right to do X, Y, and Z. When you affect other people, that is when it gets serious. It's like no different than a traffic light. We put a traffic light at an intersection so someone doesn't kill someone else.
Freedom being disturbed. You know, people's businesses have been shut down. People have lost their livelihoods. People have their dreams have been crushed. And here he is sitting from a position of luxury, right? I'm sure that he's had very little disturbance in his life. But to just nonchalantly say, your freedom being disturbed. No, that's people's lives have been destroyed because of what government's doing.
This is not about somebody's individual freedoms, you know, being disturbed because they have to wear a mask or an indoor place like that. This is about the question of whether or not an executive, a single executive, has the right to tell entire sectors of the economy that they can't operate, that they can't serve their customers, that they can't hire people, they can't fire people. It has to do with executives telling landlords that they can't collect rent and they can't evict people, telling banks that they can't collect mortgages and they can't foreclose on people. That's what's being disturbed.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a lot more than just, oh, they want to try to whittle it down and make it sound like it's just some discontented right winger somewhere who's mad because they have to wear a mask. No, it's much, much bigger and much more important than that.
Exactly.
Now, he blurred the line between the positive form of freedom, this is from the article, between the positive form of freedom and responsibility by referencing the notion of obligation. Under systems of freedom, no one is obliged to do anything. Right. Instead, you can do what you want, but with the full understanding of the consequences.
And the willingness to accept them.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Under that system of responsibility, since we are individuals who share the same civilization, it is obviously true that we must limit ourselves to some extent when it comes to the concerns of freedom. Right. But there's no right to murder. Right. One another, for example. But after agreeing that this line between freedoms exists, then we must understand what the definition of this line and how it is carefully placed, like in the traffic light scenario. In that case, that's a result of a longstanding debate over proven tools that will allow a complex system of travel to become somewhat organized and allow people to travel freely while minimizing the risk of unintentional and intentional human damage. But the fact that the traffic light freedom infringement is pragmatic does not mean that other infringements are equally pragmatic.
Yes.
Well, first of
it's
all,
not that complicated.
No.
Okay, so I can't believe he uses the murder example to compare freedom.
He did in the article. In the article here.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. What an absurd. So to compare the loss of freedom to murder, we don't have the right to murder, is just absolutely absurd. But then, to use the traffic cam, again, these are completely absurd examples.
Well, and again, I think you hit the nail on the head, and that was the fact that, you know, here you have an individual who's, he is very disconnected from average, regular society and life. So it's very convenient for Arnold Schwarzenegger to come back and say, screw your freedoms. It doesn't matter. You just take it.
I take my private jet to my mansion over there.
Exactly.
651-989-5855. Representative Tom Emmer checks in next. Stick around.
Anoka Technical College is your destination for a rewarding technical education. Our 70-plus in-demand programs are offered full-time, part-time, safely in-person, and online. Join our job-ready graduates. Why wait? Spring into a new career today. Anoka Technical College. Hands-on education for a hands-on career. Apply today